Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's episode of You Must Be Joking with me, Eric Glotter.
And me, Will Arwee. And this week we are joined by the amazing music duo, Bisse and
Robbie G.
In the gaff.
This is Belters Only, ladies and gentlemen. Belters Only.
You must be joking.
It's a numbers game. It's a numbers game.
We'll get into that now in a minute. But obviously, boys, it's a great honour to have you in. We love seeing our own people doing well. And when we see two lads from Dublin just absolutely tearing up the fucking dance scene, not only here in Ireland, across Europe, across the world.
Global.
I was looking at you jealously in Australia as we were fucking covered in snow.
Yeah, so was I, because we can't get into the country.
I'm just looking at them going, bastards. Look at them lads having a day, great time.
The cheek of them enjoying themselves in Australia.
Had a few of them at home.
I mean, how was us? Was it good? Did you enjoy it?
Top was, yeah.
Was it first time, Bisse?
It's our second time now, isn't it? Like, second time. This time was bigger and better this year, wasn't it?
Yeah, we only got home 2 days ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
No way.
My missus is living over there at the minute, so we was able to stay over there for a bit longer.
I was wondering why you were taking ages to answer me messages. That's what it was. He's in a different time zone.
The time zone, yeah. He has to give me an excuse for me for it.
Robbie's looking, he's been a bit cool, me, like, you know what I mean?
Text messages coming through jet lag.
Must have been in the requests. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was in the other folder.
So where did you come from? Where were you in Oz with the missus?
We were living in Melbourne.
Oh, Melbourne is meant to be an amazing city.
We toured over there till the 16th of December. So we done Perth, Sydney, Brisbane, Melbourne and Byron Bay.
Boring Bay is meant to be some place.
Beautiful. Actually, that was one of the best spots, actually.
We're only there for a day. We wish we could have stayed there a bit longer, because it's like a mad hippie town. It's late.
But come here next time.
We done all them cities in like 12 days or something last year. Wow. We're in bits.
Yeah.
We all came home dying. We did.
that's a serious slog.
We were over there that quick that we didn't even get jet lagged, did we not?
No, we didn't.
We came back and we were still fresh. Everything was still the same.
Yeah.
Lads, tell us again how it all started, how you two met each other, and what was the story? Because before the podcast started, you mentioned when you didn't know each other, you found a common ground and something we'll talk about in a minute. But how did it all start, you two getting together and all that?
I don't know, we tell the story a million times, don't we?
Oh, sorry, you don't ask that question.
No, you were both individual DJs. You were doing your own gig.
Yeah, so we were
both north side, south side of the city.
Yeah.
Which is a weird kind of thing as well when you think about it.
Yeah, it was alien to everybody at the time, wasn't it?
we
originally met each other in Sin Nightclub on Dame Street. That's where we both started. I was asked to come in by a fella called Sam Sparrow. He was the manager of the venue at the time.
Was he winging it?
Him and Kieran. He was
smashing, Sam Sparrow. He's doing
well
now.
Okay. Try keep up with me.
Over the head.
We eventually.
I thought you were just a podcaster for a second.
Jack Sparrow's nephew was.
Oh, geez,
so you were in there. So you were there with Noel Regan was playing in there at the time, was he as well?
Noel was in there. Derek Healy was in there. Bob Corney. They were known as Funky Box. They were a Saturday night. And they were trying to do, they were bringing in a new night, I think it was for the Fridays, and it was called Warriors, and there was about five or six different DJs. With me and Biss were brought in, there was Jazz Kane, Isaac Bui, Tom O'Gaffney and Bob Courtney, and that was the Friday night brand, and that's how we first originally came across each other. We were kind of in the same type of club for a long time. We both grew up in that club, like individually, had our own journey in there. That's where we met Jazzy as well.
Jesus.
That was the community at the beginning, you know what I mean? And that's how things kicked off. And then myself and Biss, in our own way, went our separate ways, start making music, start producing individually as solo artists for 10 years. And then when COVID hit, then Biss got signed to Polydor every single time. And just at the end of COVID, he built a studio. And he reached out to me then after us knowing each other for a while. It was always meant to happen, really. We were going to work together at some point. You know
Definitely.
What I mean?
Was that what you saw? Obviously, I could see myself working with Robbie.
Well, it was one of them things where, like, we're in the same club, same environment. We had the same taste of music, same style. So it was kind of like, when we got into the studio together, we kind of knew what kind of sound we were going for.
Yeah.
So it kind of just clicked.
And you could bounce off each other,
exactly,
kind of thing, yeah.
We were born around the same environment. And at the time, there was nobody from the club that was actually producing music. Yeah, we all had a great sound. We all knew, all loved the same stuff collectively.
Great sets.
But yeah, we all collectively knew what we liked, and there was an identity to sing that people knew about and stuff like that. And, but nobody was actually creating that sound. Nobody that grew up in that club was actually been able to express that sound into their own music. And
yeah,
that's something that both me and Biss, without even having a conversation, we both collectively knew the sound that Dublin was looking for, because we both grew up on it, you know what I mean, and so did everybody else. And that's why I think it kicked off for us, because like, it was simple to us. We grew up on it, so did everyone else. And we start making these tunes, then people started to resonate with it, you know what I mean.
And like, it might be a stupid question, but how did you come up with the, like, why the name? Like, I mean, it's a brilliant name, because it's one of them names that you can, you know, it's it, you can answer two questions with: what is called and what do you do?
I coined it. I think, yeah, the name is in the, it's what it says on the tin, isn't it?
Exactly.
Because it is Belters Only. Like, but it's like,
before started in Grand Social, we were doing a running an events night in there, and obviously we were playing Belters all night, you know what I mean? So we might as well just call it the night Belters Only. But obviously when COVID hit, we tried to revamp the whole Belters Only thing, not only as an event, but like, we wanted to start producing under Belters Only, you know what I mean? And that's obviously when I wanted another producer on board for the whole thing, and obviously Robbie was the perfect fit to, you know what I mean?
Belters Only was originally made in 2018. It was the Saturday night show in the Grand Social, and like, anybody around that time, like, if you heard a good tune, it was like, that's a belter. That's a belter. And any tune we were playing in our minds were belters. So that's how it came about.
Yeah, like, really? I mean, myself and Eric, I'd have been reared on music, but specifically dance music. Like, we went to London 1987, 1988, when the rave scene was just kind of hitting. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Obviously, you listened to rap before that, NWA, kind of, you know, stuff like that. But, like, the music that his play is, it's good dance music. Like, the story was actually at a yoke the other night in Portmarnock, and John Nolan was there. And I kind of like John in the sense that it's kind of old school dance classics.
Yeah.
And I kind of resonate with that and identify with that. But I still really love what yous are doing. Like, it's that kind of kick, like,
that's,
you know,
where it starts from. But like, that's our sound is 90s. The 90s sound, all them synths, all that stuff that people love, we're kind of like R&B vocals. So
yeah,
that whole 90s era.
Definitely, yeah.
You know what I mean? And Dublin, that's Dublin. That's Dublin sound. Anyone truly from Dublin loves 90s classics.
Yeah.
And it's the same as us.
Yeah, you know? I love that. Like, yous are like, you know, not new, but yous are, to us, yous are young, all right, involved in the industry, right? And that yous are influenced by the 90s and that sound, because that, as I say, that's what me and Willa used to go raving to all the time. And it's very true that, look, when I'm listening back to your music, it brings me back. Do you know what I mean? I go, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That bass line there brings me back.
You kind of hear that, and it's like, and I'm not just saying it, like, it's having kind of, there's nothing that I haven't heard just the one that I've went, I'm on the fence about that. It's like every time it erupts,
it's a belt
and
a
bleeding and it hits, like, you know, and it's fucking, it's brilliant.
Belters Only, will I, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%, man. He's a fucking, where he's been and what he's have done, and people don't see this stuff before that.
Graph.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, the graph that he's put in, like, even us in the entertainment industry in a different way, but the kippy clubs that you played in, places you go into and look at the bleeding setup of the PA or the system that you're playing on, went, for fuck's sake, like. But I mean, all bleeding horrible roads lead to a nice place sometimes.
That's where you get the inspiration from. We grew up on that, and it's funny, no matter how big or small the crowd is or the venues we played, like, it's all the same people that are turning up, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
Like, even now, the music we're making now, it's still the same people we're making it for at the beginning. The people that we raved with, that we were on the dance floor. Do you know what I mean? That's why we know what people like, because we were the ones on the dance floor with them. Same as yourselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, and just touching on what you were saying about, like, how it resonates with yourselves and stuff like that. Like, I think people have some sort of, a lot of people in Dublin think that, you know, because we're obviously resonating with the kind of TikTok era now, and obviously TikTok is used at the minute, whatever. There's a very young crowd that follow us, but our crowd is actually very universal.
Like, yeah,
if you look at our audience from, like, we, because of that 90s kind of feel, we're hitting that market. And then we're also, because we're modernising it now, where the younger crowd, even the younger kids now who didn't know anything about the 90s, are starting to repeat itself now.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's because we were inspired from that back then, and we're bringing it out now, you know.
Is there any particular DJs or sound or bands from that era that you particularly looked up to?
Be a few, like MK, Mark Hinson would be one. He's huge in Ireland. Then the likes of like Armin van Helden.
Oh yeah.
If you're going all the way back, like all the Piano House Kings, like Red Jerry, you know.
So you know your history, Robbie.
Well, I grew up on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I grew up on it. Like, this is the stuff. I was only 16, 17. I wouldn't know the names of the songs.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was allowed in. I was allowed in sin. I was allowed DJing sin at underage because I was got a permission slip signed by me man and dad at the time. But the owner of the club came to me gaff.
And a note fucking, to go to shop as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah, he dropped me home at the end of the night and everything. The full month.
That's Monty, mad.
Four month, yeah. But
isn't it?
I was blessed because I was able to like, get into this.
But it was all meant to happen. Like, I mean, everything in life is meant to happen. You're meant to meet. I believe in fate rather than coincidence. I think you're meant, people are meant to come into your life mm-hmm. for Absolutely. The right reasons. People are meant to exit your life for the right reasons. Some people come in and they just kind of pass through. You know what I mean? Your friends are in for a while or whatever. You go out and do something else. You were definitely meant to meet and do what you were doing. There's not a lot of DJ duo, that two people that walk together as far as we can see it, what I'm aware of. Is there anyone else that you know of?
Well, just look at the records. We've had that break in there as well, though. Just this, like, the first dance act to ever go diamond in Ireland, you know what I mean?
It's ever
go platinum in the UK. So yeah. It's like, we're breaking records here, you know what I mean? So it is,
literally.
As you said, we're meant to be, you know what I mean? And if you want to touch on that story about the numbers.
Yeah, so what we were saying at the start, so
yes.
You were talking about
yeah,
people
the numbers,
meant
yeah,
to
yeah,
work,
yeah, yeah.
So we set Biss are big on numerology, right? And this is something that we both knew we were like invested in before we met each other, right? And as we started to get to know each other in the studio and that, it came up about the numbers and stuff like that. And so my number that I say all the time since I'm a kid, and that's been in my life before I was even born, was 27.
Right.
So my local bus number is 27. At the time, my passport number is 27. My outfielder was in the army. He was in the 27th platoon of the 27th battalion. Right. I wasn't even born then. The number 27 is everywhere, right? There's loads of them. And business number is 37.
Right, maybe so you get into that, I'll go on forever. Where
so that's where the three, that's where you were looking at the clock in the beginning, just to tell people before we started the podcast, you said the business, look
yeah,
at the
I
clock.
Looked at the clock.
And
yeah.
The clock was 3:07, which is obviously going to use 37. Yeah.
And similar to this is like all the coincidences. Like,
I grew up 137. The row at the north, the door across me is 337. Just 337 everywhere.
And then once you start to understand this, right? As I went on, just more and more coincidence. Funny enough, then we start like just because when we came together, then like stupid things like people think, oh, it's a mad coincidence, but like everywhere we went, our numbers started merging,
right.
We started becoming 1, 27, 37, whatever, different patterns of it, whatever. But the maddest one for us was so before I even joined Belt is Only, Bizzit created the logo, created the brand,
right.
And the logo behind the Belt is Only is the Flower of Life, right? And the Flower of Life is made up of 64 energy units, right? If you add 37 and 27 together, 64. When you merge that one, 64
That's
energy.
That's crazy.
Unit.
And the other mad one was, you're in Australia there last year, and I locked my phone, and I didn't even, I have this passcode years, about 10 years, I have this number probably, and it's 2764.
Right.
So 37 and 27, his number
is 64. Jesus Christ, yeah.
And he pointed out to me, and I was like, fucking hell, I didn't even realise that.
It's mad, isn't
mad.
It?
Mental.
Yes. Minus 29. It's just something that's always kind of occurred in my life. The cellar was in Mountjoy was number 29.
Oh, did you ever read into it?
I thought you said minus 29.
No, 29. The house that I bought was number 29.
Did you ever read into it or that? No?
No, I haven't really. What else? Yeah, so there's 29. The cellar was in 29. The house is 29. It was 29 when I got clean. When I cleaned my act up, when I got clean and sober. And I always see it. Like, if I'm on the bus or something and I look at a house, it does be 29.
Yeah,
29 has always been kind of relevant in my life, like, you know.
You
so
look
we do
into
believe
it.
In
read,
the
read up about it, because we obviously looked into our numbers, you know what I mean? And you can it tells a whole paragraph on what the numbers mean, you know.
Yeah, well maybe I will do that
sure,
after hearing that and look into it. But I do. Come here, it's fate. You're meant to meet up. Obviously, the both of you as two DJs individually were doing really well. I used to listen to a lot of your stuff before you linked up with Robbie. But I mean, it's a fucking match made in heaven musically. Like, I mean, to sit down and be able not only to walk with each other, you get on really, really well, which is half the battle.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
We hate each other.
Listen, there's times where you go through it all, you know what I mean? During business and everything else, you know what I mean?
Look, come here. It's a walking contract as well, but I think it's an awful lot better when you're friends. You both sing off the same hymn sheet. You both like the same music. you like what you're producing, you like what you do, and it fucking shows. Like,
yeah, listen,
you know,
we have the vision, you know what I mean? So whatever goes on during business hours and we have arguments and stuff, we still know what the end goal is,
yeah,
you know
it's
what I mean?
Than
that's,
us.
That's what it's about, yeah. Really.
We always say it's bigger than us, this, like something that, like, when me and Baseball started off but producing collectively as, like, you know, as Belters only, before us, there wasn't really anybody from, like, the working class areas that was able to, well, in me personally, I think Bizza himself, there was no one that was thinking as broad as we were in terms of, like, this could go all the way, we can bring this all the way, you know, like, we tried for years to get into the UK market. Bizza built his own sound from Dublin after 10 years of, like, just repeatedly, constantly just making stuff in his car, and his, like, same as I said, from the bedroom.
Yeah.
Like, when me and Biz came together, the first thing that we, like, that clicked with the two of us is that we were both thinking the same. Like, other than me and Biz at the time, there wouldn't have been anyone I think that, you know, would have understood how the thoughts that I was thinking about, how far I could bring this, and vice versa, you know what I mean? And that was the main thing, I think. The one that was like, right, we can actually take this all the way here. If we stick our heads together here, we can take this all the way, you know?
It's all about producing music and all that, and like, Davo.
He's a next door neighbour called Dave MacDonald.
And he was in a duo before.
He was in a duo called Banana Boys years ago.
And it's mad, like, we're going to talk about your Three Arena show, but my first ever rave was Heaven on Earth. It was Prodigy live at the Point, the old Point.
Sick.
And Banana Boys were opening for them.
Wow.
In front of, like, fucking 16,000 people.
Yeah. Now, Dave was a smashing DJ.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean,
Bicep and I were in touch from there recently about, they heard one of his old mixes,
right,
and they asked him where he got a particular
song.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Right. And he was able to tell them and all that.
And it's mad because his son at the moment is producing stuff,
right,
with,
yeah,
a couple of lads. His son is only, how old is he, 17, 18?
What kind of music, yeah, is he making?
Dance.
Right.
Look, dance and he's doing a bit of rap as well.
Eric, I
actually have a couple of tunes. I'll send them on.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
Do you know what? Dave has always been into music. As far, look, I grew up with him since I was a kid. When I lived in London, he lived in London with us, but was always into DJing and that. He had a little record shop at one stage in Temple Bar, Dave MacDonald. But really, just, you know, one of them fellas that you kind of go. And I mean, even when I look back, going back years ago, even the likes of Liam Dollard, and I'd be still mates with Liam or Billy Scurry, all these old DJs from Dublin that could have really done what yous are doing.
Mm.
But just, you know what I'm saying? You kind of go, why are you stopping? It's like we talked about earlier on the podcast. Some people just stop before the miracle happens. Yeah,
we always say, like, DJing can only bring you so far, you know what I mean? You need to actually get in and make the music.
Yeah.
That's what takes it to the next level.
I also think as well that it's a different time now as well, and I think we were very lucky to grow up in the time that it is now, where the social media and the likes of SoundCloud, where we can make a song on our laptop and we can upload it straight to an online streaming site. And people are able to, like, when back then, years ago, you wouldn't have been able to do that, you know what I mean? And like,
you weren't even doing anything on laptops probably back then either. They're doing everything in the studio, you know what I mean, on the mix decks.
Yeah, yeah, we were lucky in that way, you know what I mean. But
it's Gas Davo's, like, Davo's our age. He's very young, mid fifties. Shut up, he's very young. And what I love about Davo's work ethic is, like, he still loves doing it. Do you know what I mean? To this day, like, he has a little studio up in his attic, and he's still producing music, and he still believes that something's going to get picked up soon. Like,
you're never too old either.
I think just before we go on, the main thing I think was that, and the difference between other people behind us and what me and Biz did was that before us, there was the UK scene, which was the scene for dance music. Like, it was unheard of that you heard an Irish DJ breaking before an English person.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, they're going to put English artists before Irish artists. So that's a battle that we had for a long time, trying to break into a scene that I was never going to be put forced in, because obviously I wasn't English.
They're looking after their own.
Exactly, and rightly so. You know what I mean? But I think what me and Biz did was, like, and something that Biz definitely helped me with when we came together, was that he said, look, there's a sound here that is yet to be explored, and we can break the market here and do it. Once we focus on our own sound and just stick to it, like, the world hasn't heard this sound before that we've done. And once we drilled that into each other's heads and got stuck in, that's when things started to really move for us, because we weren't trying to fit into a market. We created our own.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And because of that, now there's a huge community of Irish artists and producers underneath us now. Like, you have Cameron Watson now, who's top 5 artists in the UK. Jeez. He's only from up the road. Like, you have Evan McGee, you know, that major artist. You have Jazzy there, another vocalist. Like, these are only the first wave.
Yeah.
And it's off the back of just
you're putting the paving stones in for the people coming behind you. Realistically, let's call a spade, like.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? When young upcoming artists and DJs see what yous can do and what yous are capable of, it's like,
it's inspiring.
Man, don't dream the dream, like, start, it can start.
Yeah.
Like, if we can, if yous can get into a studio, and I don't really know much about producing music myself, like, do yous produce here, if he's got a sound engineer, or do yous actually do the whole package ourselves, like?
Well, just recently we're going to start doing the whole package ourselves. We're just producing the music and then sending off to engineers and stuff,
right, to get
and
it right
and stuff like that, but I've been kind of upping my skills last while, and it's getting there, you know what I mean? It's nearly professional level, so like this year you're going to hear serious music this year.
Can't wait.
I went out to your tune in the Olympia. Remember the tune you gave me, and I was like, I was privileged, fucking right.
I tell you what, caught me off guard, and you walked out in the lap the lounge. I was in the corner going, lovely, can't wait. But as soon as that came, I was like, oh, no. Had a few points of me as well.
When me and Will, I did the live podcast in the Laughter Lounge there a few months ago, the boys were very... Stop Bro was just coming out.
We had
that as our walk on music, and Robbie was like, what the fuck?
But the rave, we were taught, like, that rave alert thing was Eric's idea.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was great. I said, it's different.
That was deadly, though.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you're taught in the podcast, and next of all, a bleeding belter would just come on. You know, people would all go up and dance. You'd sit back down and go, anyway, you were saying about it.
It just keeps the energy levels high.
It played poor Roddy, didn't know what was going on.
Just touching on what you're saying about obviously all the up and comers, like, that's why we started this label. We are active to give everyone a platform, you know what I mean? To try and make us the major in Ireland, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I only spoke about it on the way in the door. I mean, when I seen the video the other night of you talking to them all on the laptop, I love that. And I mean, myself as a.
So tell the people listening what you saw.
So basically what happened was, for people that are listening, is that there was a... Now, when we go off, if I'm wrong on this, don't feel free to jump in and clarify what happened. So what I seen was, yous were online on a Zoom call with some comedians. Am I right? There was probably six or eight. You were online with six or eight DJs. How many DJs were there?
There was five or six.
So say a half dozen DJs. And you were telling them about the upcoming show that's going on in the Tree Arena. What date? Just to give her a plug.
22nd of February.
22nd of February. Second time playing the Tree Arena. And what I got from it, as I'm sure your people did, is that you were going to tell one or maybe two of them that you needed a support act, so you were all there and you were giving them the news. And then you turned around and said, listen, I'm sorry to tell you that you are all going to be on the tree. And when I seen the screen and them all gone, because he lost a shitload.
Yeah.
I mean, such a big platform.
It's a huge
opportunity,
to be able to give
people a hand up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We all needed a hand up in the beginning.
Yeah.
No matter whether it was music, singing, comedy, we all need a bleeding dig out.
Of course. Like, we brought them on board. Like, we have some of them lads are in After Zony, the events night that we run in the academy. So, and then some of them are on the label. So it was a win-win for everyone at the end of the day. You know what I mean? And it's obviously boosting their confidence. And they've worked hard all year round. They got stuck in all year round. So they deserve it. Not that we're just giving it to them. They deserve it as well.
Yeah. The beauty of it is as well is that we know all them personally. They're our mates.
Yeah.
Get me like half of it. I'd say the majority of them were all in same with us as well. You know what I mean?
And some of them only started producing this year. We had a call with them at the start of the year, and we said, listen, get your boots on, start producing, and the rewards will come. And then obviously this is after happening for them. So
fucking hell, what a buzz! Them boys must be buzzing, like, you know what I mean? Three arena.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, I was saying it on the podcast before we did this one. You said, oh no, was it, you're saying six or eight? And I was going, all of them are doing, what are you getting, 5 minutes each?
there was a conversation there to make sure we could equally get everybody as much.
Well, listen,
as possible,
they whip your hand off at 5 minutes.
Of course,
handy,
you would.
I mean?
Yeah.
So it's
just
like,
to stand on that stage.
Yeah, of course.
I wouldn't even run a record. I just stand there for 5 minutes.
Just even stand up there, give someone a wave.
No, but it's mad that the effect that music has on people, whether it's dance music, whether it's fucking country and western music, wherever it is you're listening to, it just hits you deep in your soul. I remember years ago, like, I'm going back 30 odd years ago, I went to see Sasha.
Nice.
Up in Castle Bellingham, up in County Louth. We all went up in the Bleeding Bus, man. The Bleeding Jaws probably got there about 20 minutes before us, right? And we went in, and DJ Sash was playing in there. And it was unbelievable. Then another time we went up, John Digweed was on.
Yeah.
And he used to have, you know, every few months to be a big DJ. They flew over into the middle of Bleeding Loud, like, you know. Yeah, yeah. Exactly, yeah. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, I remember
going to see Kyle Cox in the old system, which is Club 22 now at the moment. And it was the first time, apparently, at the time, that a DJ was using three decks as right. opposed to two. Like, right. And I was like, oh my God, this is Kyle Cox. Everyone's out of it. It could have been just press play on a tape cassette. We were all like, ah, this one's
gonna play. Genius.
Three decks.
Yeah.
Someone else. Six decks is on.
Didn't even know what he looked like. Oh, we were all out the front on the deck.
Yeah. But great times. I suppose, like, the biggest tune, like, you know, the jazzy tune, like, it's like, it's one of them. That's one of them songs straight away when I listen to it, I go, these boys have been influenced by a previous sound or a, you know, a vibe. And that's the one I get most from, that song. You said he's worked with Jazzy in Sin, was it?
Well, we both crossed paths in Sin, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so obviously he's became mates and all that, and you just had an idea. You just said, right, we want you to sing on this?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah?
That's pretty much how it went.
That was basically what happened,
yeah. She just got in the studio and she smashed it.
But did you know that when it was being recorded, oh, this is going to go?
Well, we kind of, that song that she done, it's a sample, obviously, from years ago. Yeah. And they both kind of have the similar voices, the tone to their voice. So yeah. I knew obviously Jazzy would do well on the track, but obviously not that well. I didn't think.
Yeah, you did. I remember at the time, like Bizzy would have known Jazzy and Biss and all Evo and all the other team. They're all from the south side of Dublin. I'm the only one from the north. So when I came in, it was kind of organised that they were going to get Jazzy in. And I remember you were sure about it. You were saying, "Wait, you see this girl? Like, she,
what a vocal!
She's going to be huge! Like,
what a fucking vocal! Like, she is.
She's special.
Like, she's up there. Like, yeah, I mean, yeah. she could literally go over to America and collaborate with somebody or other. She's
only,
just got
it's
it.
It's only a matter of time. Literally, yeah, off the back of the likes of Giving Me, the one that we wrote and produced with her. For her single, Calvin Harris is on it straight away. Yeah. Support her straight. Like he's top of the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And God knows if he's heard her, God knows who else is watching her. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
And rightfully so. She deserves it all as well. She's amazing.
No, she is, and it's just a great platform for, you know. It just opens the door for so many other people. Like what you are doing, like you know, like anything is really Bleeding Possible.
That's
isn't
what it's
it?
All about. You know what I mean?
Part of this is to keep the ladder on the ground for everyone else.
The amount
of people. Artists they've seen, not just from Ireland, but just when people have been from areas and they've made it, like, yes, they've made it, but then, like, you don't know anyone else. And something I knew and Biss knew the talent that this country has to offer, and maybe all they needed was someone or a pathway or something realistic, you know what I mean? Like, where when we did it was unrealistic, do you know what I mean? And when we did come, we always said it, when it came to a point where we had a platform to keep the ladder there and help everyone else, the first thing we did was do it.
And fair focus, yeah, lads, because there wouldn't be an awful lot of people who do that. You know what I mean? You get carried away in their own success.
Life in general is full of people that are just so self-centred and caught up in themselves.
It's
like me, you know. But no, it is. It's great that you're opening your arms and putting your hands out and saying to people, come on, there's room for many.
It's hard to be there for everyone as well, but that's why we kind of build a team. We have Evo there and his cousin Adam, they're all kind of working on the ground for us. So when we're away doing stuff, they'll organise for everybody, all the artists and stuff, and we are active and after Zony, so it's good to have the whole team.
Do you know
there.
Who I haven't seen in a while, and I'm just at the thinking of a day when I was talking about that, you know, the little fella from Kewlock, that young fella. Him and his brother, the brothers be dancing in the background.
Oh,
Callum,
is he?
Kewlock, Callum Kearney. Well, I haven't seen, I usually see him online doing a bit of stuff.
He's out doing gigs now, doing parties now, yeah. All the kids rocking
brilliant.
In front of him.
Isn't that great?
Brilliant.
When you think about it at that age, you know the guy I'm on about, Eric?
No idea.
His brother
has his little. He's like his little MC or
he's
something.
He's like Bez our Happy Mondays. Yeah. He'd be there in the background.
Like
he'd
dancing.
Your man would be smashing the tunes in, yeah.
He loves that.
Come here, I ask you, if there was anyone from your point of view, who would you love to collaborate with?
Vocal-wise, we always say Mary J. Blige. Oh,
yeah, what a bleeding vocalist.
Producer-wise, what would we collab with? Chris Dussey, maybe.
Chris Dussey, yeah. MK is the one for
MK
me.
MK as well.
Right. Just because we grew up on his sound.
Yeah, I've seen him in the Sugar Club a
couple of times.
Yeah, he's good.
Played at Waterbleed and Water DJ, like.
Yeah.
And
he's been around Jersey.
Yeah, he's been around, but it's like some tunes are just timeless, like Deeper Love. Like that tune has been around for a long, long time. But yeah, if you're in a club somewhere and you throw her on and mix her in with something, people are like, it's that tune.
Yeah,
like,
it gives it a new freshness.
Some of the tunes I listen to, my missus's young lad listen to, he's 23. Are around way before he was even born, like, you know.
Yeah, we're still playing stuff like today in our sets, like Music Sounds Better With You.
Yeah,
we're playing all them in our sets still, you know what I mean, just as like enders to the set.
He's just back from Australia, all right, and you've got this massive show in the, is this your first time doing the Tree Arena?
Second time, isn't it?
So what can people who are going to the Tree Arena expect? Tell us what can they expect.
I mean, first of all, just watch the YouTube from last year and you'll know exactly what's going on.
Oh really? But yeah,
obviously the full set is of the Tree Arena is on YouTube, so.
Okay,
but obviously we're doing it a small bit different. There's no balcony this time around. There's obviously just the lowercase is obviously firing safety or something, whatever, I don't know. But a couple of special guests.
Brilliant.
There's more surprises at this one than there is at the other one.
Okay.
We're working on a mad old intro, aren't we?
Yeah.
At the moment.
Yeah,
so
we love our intros. Our intros are very important.
Deadly.
You know what I mean?
But it's like comedy, isn't it? You need to start off strong in a comedy gig, so you believe that as well. You need to start off with a bang.
Absolutely,
kind of thing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Have an impact, innit, really?
Well, it's just to show, right, the change of us on. We're on stage now.
Yeah.
Also, we're dropping a new EP with Jazzy on the 20th.
Day before
the Tree Arena. So
she'll be there.
Yeah, she will be there. I'd say.
I'd say she'll do a tune or two. Yeah.
I went to see his an EP last year, and was it last year? Was it the year before?
It was two years ago.
Was it? Yeah, it was the year before ago, last. Yeah. And you fucking ripped the material off the tent.
Or it could have been last year. Sorry, could have been last year.
Was it last? Could have been. I know you don't take drugs anymore. Imagine if I took drugs. Was it 1986 or
something? Oh, that tent was serious. That was.
It was fucking brilliant. And it was packed.
Wedged.
To the right. They were outside. You always know when there's someone really good on, because it just spills right to the outside.
Yeah. And
look
at the wool town.
We love doing the tents, but we tried to get the tent this year for Long and Short, so. But it was too, obviously, fire and safety and stuff as well. No, too many people in the tent, so we couldn't do the tent. So.
What a problem to have.
It is a great problem. But we'd rather the tent, because the atmosphere is a lot better than the tent, you know what I mean?
But you just have to play on the stage then, as the main stage.
Yeah, main stage,
yeah.
Ah, Jesus. Yeah. So come here, you started off, obviously, you're in, what date again, in the Tree Arena?
22nd.
Of?
February.
February. What kicks off then after that? Is it all the festivals, all the usual stuff? Are you planning to travel again?
I think there's a UK tour getting planned, maybe a couple of gigs in Ibiza. We have a couple of gigs in Greece and stuff like that, and probably Australia again at the end of the year as well.
Hopefully, yeah, fingers crossed if all goes well.
Amazing. Is there any way you haven't played that you'd like to play?
We'd love to play America.
Yeah, I'm thinking that.
Where, New York or somewhere?
Detroit.
Like that?
Anywhere
that have us. You know what I mean? We'd play Canada.
A couple more gigs in Europe as well, it'd be nice.
That's going to happen, lads.
Yeah, of course.
Like, fingers crossed. Fingers
you know
crossed.
What I mean? It's 100% just to go to the States.
Yeah. Mm.
There's
always a festival you see on Bleed TikTok and going, oh man, that's on the bucket list. I'd love to go there. Was it Tomorrowland? Is it
Tomorrowland? Yeah.
Just the setup looks unreal.
We love to play there as well. That's in Belgium.
It's Belgium.
I think it's best festival in the world or something.
These are all just places that you will play. You just haven't been there yet.
Yeah, it's a matter of time.
Do you know what I mean? Done Creamfields and all that, haven't you?
Done Creamfields, Park Life, done all them kind of big ones.
Jesus Christ, lads.
Did we do main stage or not?
Creamfields?
Yeah.
We did it, yeah. We'd only done that last year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He's forgetting. That just shows you where we're at. Yeah. That just shows you what's
Chris
going on.
Chris is getting blasé now. Well, I don't know. Where am I?
It's not the same. When you look at stuff like that and you're kind of going, yeah, no other Irish DJ has touched off stuff like that.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? It's all in house, isn't it? Like big Irish DJs, a lot of them stay inside the pale, like they stay inside the perimeter. I mean, I remember going to raves years ago and you'd go down to City Limits in Cork, or you go up to La Bamba up in City Hall.
Right, Henry's.
Henry's in Cork. You know, like that was it. Like no one, you never heard of someone going, oh, I'm playing in London next week, or you know, wherever it might be. It was like it was in the one country. Like, so I mean, for you to go and do stuff like that and even go to Australia, it's brilliant.
As I said, if you're a DJ out there trying to get abroad, producing is the way forward, you know what I mean? That's what'll get you all over the world.
Yeah.
Because you're doing your own shit, you know what I mean?
So much you can do, and I'm not computer techie at all, like, so I find it hard to fucking send an email.
Now listen, it doesn't take it like
it's all the software, obviously.
But listen, everyone's in the same boat when they start off. It gets frustrating at times, and it still gets frustrating for us at times. You know what I mean? But you just mosey on through it.
That's the part people forget. Hard. It's not an overnight thing. Like it did take us 10 years to get this point.
It's a process. It's not an event.
Exactly,
isn't it?
Exactly. It's like picking up any sort of craft, being an apprentice for years. It's that type of work.
My young fella Alex is Mrs. Barnum. A mixing desk for Christmas and a bit of software and all that. And for about 4 or 5 days over the Christmas, he was fucking mad at it. You know what I mean? And now I'm like, what's the story with that yoke? I don't know how to fucking walk it. he just got incredibly frustrated. Yeah. So I'm going to make sure he listens to this episode. Fucking persevere. The boys took 10 years. You did 5 days.
The amount of times I closed the laptop over the years and says, no, I'm not doing this anymore.
And we didn't go to college for it either. You know what I mean? We're just watching videos online on YouTube.
Self-taught.
So what do you do to kick back? What do you do? Obviously, you know, you're young flit and that, and he'll keep you busy. But I mean, what do you do for Bissa, or what do you do for Robbie in order just to go, do you know what? I'm going to make an appointment to meet myself, and I'm going to just chill out. What do you do?
First of all, we kind of go home and meet the family, you know what I mean? I've seen the family for ages and stuff like that. Spend time with them, chill out. I kind of just learn more about music in my spare time as well. I'm just sitting there or whatever. And then obviously the umflit and that, you know what I mean? And obviously now the baby's on the way, so getting
the congratulations.
Have you got Bobby in the post, have you?
I have Bobby in the old oven.
When's a Bobby due?
May.
Little girl put the icing on the cake, wouldn't it?
That's it. It's a girl.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Numbers.
Two is the magic number.
Brilliant.
Stop it.
Brilliant. No, that's great. And so it's family for you.
Family, yeah. Look, it's been a chaotic few years for us.
Well, it's been an emotional one for you because you lost your mum a couple of years ago as well, didn't you?
Yeah, 2 years ago. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Tough. I thought the EP was only last year because we done a tribute for her that year.
You brought her out.
Well, you know, that's been tough. And
she's a big figure in your family. A mother in any family is the glue that holds it together, isn't it?
I was a mammy's boy with her.
She was
the one. I turned her to get me in the family, so that was definitely the
so
biggest
so was I yeah. Do you know what I mean? My man only passed away last year as well. She's only gone since May. Come here, listen, life unfortunately goes on.
That was
difficult as it is, you know, more than anyone else, losing your mum. You've been so young. It's very hard to navigate and very hard to harness.
Listen, I am only starting to really realistically come with this situation now.
Because
it's mad. Like, it happened, and it happened when she was perfectly fine, and then 10 months later she was gone, right? And when I buried her a week later, I went straight to London, and we were in a camp in London working together on music straight away. I didn't take a break. I went straight into it.
I threw
myself right back into it. When I probably really realistically should have taken a break, but it was what got me through it. The music got me through it, and everything really started to kick off after that. Like, so it was just as great, as amazing and as unbelievable as everything was, and I'm grateful for it all. It was chaos. It was chaos.
But you know what as well, and sorry for cutting across you, Robbie, sometimes you need to be kept busy in situations
100%.
Like that.
I know for a fact,
and I didn't even know your mother, but I know that she would have wanted you to go and do that.
Yeah, and that's what made me keep going.
And I can totally identify you with that, because when my ma passed away, my ma got cremated on the Wednesday, and I was in Berlin on the Sunday getting ready to do a play on the Tuesday. And I swear to God, I can't even remember getting on the plane in Dublin Airport. Me and my missus, and my missus was so close to me ma. Like, my missus come into me life for my missus always says, I got two for the price of fucking one. I got you and your ma. Do you know what I mean? But my ma was such, like, your own mother was such a big inspiration in my life. I get my resilience, my sense of humour from her as well. But she was adamant, even in hospital, saying to me, go and do that play. Don't be worrying about me. And it all happened it all kind of intertwined together that she went when she went. I was able to go to Berlin. And I was definitely in a haze, like. And like you talked about yourself, grief is a very, very strange thing.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't necessarily say, you know, when someone passes that you'll be over it by this date or whatever. It always comes up, and it always comes round, like,
100%,
you know?
100%. Look, I was blessed before that. Like, my, the way it worked for me was I didn't lose my nanny or my granddad, neither of them. I was blessed to have both of them in my life at the time. Never lost anybody. My uncle died in the stardust, but I wasn't alive at the time. That was the only loss really that was in the family. And then my granddad started getting sick, and then I remember my ma was grand at the time. Well, we didn't know at the time, but she was there. We buried my granddad, and we were waiting for, I never really grieved my granddad either still, because I'm still only getting over what happened with my ma, because at the time my ma went in for a test to see what was going on, and throughout the whole time we buried my granddad, we were waiting to get results off me ma.
So that took it away from your granddad.
The only thing that was on my mind was that we were waiting for this result, and we were obviously worried about it. We buried my granddad. 4 days later, my ma woke me up to say she was diagnosed. So then we were on another battle straight away then.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, Make Me Feel Good went number one. Don't Stop Just Yet was in the charts. We had 3 tracks in the top 20 in the UK. So like, I was conflicted because I was like, this is my dream that I've worked towards for years. But at the same time, I'm dealing with the hardest thing that could possibly happen to someone.
That's comedian. I can so identify with that. I mean, last year for me as a comedian was the biggest fucking year I ever had. Like selling out, like anywhere I went, I sold her out. Like, but my man fucking died in May. Like,
Matt.
And I was like, as much as I was trying to appreciate it, I couldn't really appreciate it. I was going, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like Liverpool winning the bleeding Premiership during COVID. No one really got the, you know, it was like, whatever, like, do you know what I mean?
The stadium was empty. It meant so much. Yeah, when it came to it, was like,
it's like that, you know, bittersweet. You could fucking do a song, you know what I mean? It's like, things were so fucking sweet for you, but yet at the same time, a big, big person had been removed from your life, and it kind of clouds all the fucking stuff. 100%. The good stuff that's going 100%. On, you know what I mean?
So, like, Biss will tell you, like, I've basically been operating on fumes for the past 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's been the busiest we've ever been as well. You know what I mean? And as much as maybe we should have taken time off or whatever, at the same time, I don't know what I would have done if we didn't have the way we were doing and didn't have the boys there with me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it would have been a lot worse, you know? So I'm blessed in a way. At the same time now, we have the Tree Arena coming up now this year. We have Longitude coming up. We'll have a couple of dates coming up of the year, but the main thing for this now, I'm gonna be with my family a lot more this year.
100%. My family is everything.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't care. And I always say it, they're there for you through the fucking shit times. And
they'll never judge you, no matter what.
Exactly.
They're the ones that never
always
judge
on your side. Like.
Yeah.
And come here with his
Are you happy
peak?
With him taking a bit of time off?
whatever he needs, he doesn't have a fucking choice. Head together,
Will he still EP this year?
I don't think there was any talks about it, to be honest with you.
You never know though. With this EP coming out, that could change a lot, you know.
Or altogether now.
EP for EP.
Yeah.
EP phone home. I'll stop, Eddie.
Oh God, yeah, I'll stop, Rob. Turn off that mic. So, any other questions you want to ask the boys before we let them go?
Is that time already?
It is, yeah. I'm conscious of Rio, but looking at me there going, I have to go train at 5:30.
Some of us have other dreams.
Crumlin. Oh, they're the good club now, in fairness. Crumlin. They are the good club now, in fairness. But we're Northside boys, Ballymun United all the way.
Did you play ball growing up, Bissett, with your sporty?
Yeah,
who did you play for?
Crumlin as well, I played for
Drimley
and stuff.
Really? Serious club.
You football,
I was on
Rob?
The bench.
Yes, as we said, mate.
I was good on the bench.
Swear to God, Christy,
if anyone needed a bottle of water, I should have seen this.
I remember playing football and I got out and the manager says to me, you had 2 great runs there. He says,
but they had the highlight when you
spoke about this in the podcast a few months ago. He brought me dad up to see me playing one Saturday morning. I didn't even get picked.
It was alright. I had a scout come look at me from QPR when I was up in Crumlin, actually.
Yeah.
But the manager played for the manager's son played for the team, and obviously he must have got fucking, I don't know, jealous or something. He stopped playing me then.
Yeah, there's a lot of that shit. Well, I used to play football as well, and I used to do a routine, and it brings me back to my raving days, because when I used to go raving, I'd be still playing football on the Sunday morning, so I'd be out all night. I remember one night at a party. Right?
He's called Patrick.
He's the team, right? And I was playing up Fingus, and came straight from the gaff, and my mates and I were gone, because I stopped and at the party I went, boys, I have a match at 11, and they were all like, that what? are you fucking mad? Are you out of your head? And I went, yeah. so they all put on that jacket and coat, going, I'm not fucking missing this. So we went down. But one thing I don't say in the routine, but this is an actual true story. I walked out onto the pitch, I put my gear on, looked fucking deadly, and I walked out onto the pitch. And my mates that came down to watch me, four or five of them, Eddie, Kieran, Joe, yeah. Pat, and all them, they had their backs to the pitch and just staring at these houses because they were over it as well. And I was like, lads,
what's your house?
Lads!
Yeah, what's
the
man just this way?
Yeah. You know what I had to say? So the two turned around, sorry, Dad. Sorry. And they were hoping. But for the first 15, 20 minutes of that match, I was fucking brilliant. I was playing out on the right side of the midfield and I was tearing the fullback
full
in
of
the
I was playing the right hand of midfield.
I was forward, I was back, I was in goal for about 10 minutes.
All right, one of the things that, like, this is what happened, right? So I was running to the touchline, I get the cross in, right? This one time I got the ball, pissed down the line, got to the touchline, but I kept running, right? And there's like a slope going off the back of the pitch and then goes onto a road up the car that's finished rolling things, right? And I'm still running like for this fucking gump, right? And the ball's bouncing in front of the car and all you hear is the clatter of your studs off the concrete. Oh, you know, no, and you stop and there's just two cars out of the side of me just looking at me like that, and then the manager up on the top of the hill going, Eric, not your day today, so come on, let's go. He took me off.
Oh, stop it, Jesus Christ. Very good.
But I got away with it. Raven and football. Lads, like, genuinely, like, myself and Willie, we listen to a lot of dance music and we're so proud that there's a fucking young, modern Irish act, Dublin act, out there, up at the very fucking top. Top of the game, and like, we're just so proud and just continued success to
you. It's only going to get better for you, lads, without a shadow of a doubt. And all the stuff you've talked about, the not yet to bleed and going to the States and all that, it's 100% going to happen.
Of course, it's hard.
You know,
it's
just a matter, of time. People just go, right, States, let's go.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
We're just going to keep doing what we're doing anyway, regardless. You know what I mean? So,
that's the way forward. You see, just keep walking, do what we do, and see what happens.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's it. Our dreams have been lived now already. You know what I mean? We're able to bring our own people on. We're able to live the life that we wanted to live. We're able to show. Bizzard brought his young fella on stage. We brought my mother on stage.
Yeah. Amazing.
You know, the dreams are there. Like, so anything else now is really a bonus, and the work is not going to stop, because at the end of the day, we love what we do, and that's why we do it. It's not about
that. We love what you do as well.
Yeah. Appreciate that.
That's coming from the bottom of my heart, and I don't only speak for myself and Eric, but I speak for the whole nation. I mean, it's fucking great. Two fucking working class youngsters, like, do you know what I mean? To be out on the music, dancing and fucking smashing the hoop over it. Yous are doing it, and yous are only gonna yous are like a fine wine. Yous will evolve with time. Yous will just get better and better.
Absolutely.
Your producing skills are gonna get better. Yous are just gonna get better. 100%. The music is gonna get better, and the venues are gonna get bigger. And long, long may it last. Let's
appreciate it. Thank you.
Genuinely,
ladies and gentlemen, Ireland's finest, Belters only. Thanks for coming in, lads.
Thanks so much.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Brilliant.